Name that tune. Name the tune. Isn't he lovely? Yeah, it's not a Christian song, but my, he's so appropriate. Who's ever been frustrated at the crossing gates? When you come, I don't know about you, but I think there's something on my car that tells those crossing gates to go down every time I go near them, because they always come down. But you know, we've got three gates, and I want all of your gates to be open this morning. You've got eye gate, you've got ear gate, and you've got heart gate. So I want all of those gates to be open as we welcome Sam Jayakrishna, our pastor, to come speak to us this morning.
Praise the name of Jesus. How are we this morning? Good morning. Thank you so much, Ben. They're amazing. Every time they do an amazing job here. You ready for the word? Praise God. Isn't he lovely? Isn't Jesus lovely? I think we should have a song with that. Isn't Jesus lovely? Isn't he wonderful? Praise the name of Jesus. Let's just bow our heads in prayer for a few moments. Father, this morning I just thank you that you are such a lovely, awesome, mighty God. You are the almighty God. You are the everlasting Father. You are the Prince of Peace. And God, at this time we bow down before you and we ask you, Holy Spirit, that you will speak to us, that you will give us a word in season, that, Lord, you'll give us a word of encouragement. And whatever it is that each and every one of us needs, God, you will meet it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. So it's good to see you this morning. And the title of my message this morning, I titled it this, The Place You Most Want to Be. The Place You Most Want to Be. Now, people always want to belong somewhere, don't you? We always, as people, we want to belong somewhere. This craving or this wanting to belong is something that we have in us. As people, we want to belong to what, and society calls that community. We want to be a part of something, a part of some community. And so it's part of us. People want to have connections with one another. For what purpose? They want to identify with groups of people. And that's why you have different groups that meet at different times in different places. A group for this, a group for that, a group for that. And people identify themselves with certain types of groups because they want to be a part of that society. And so to belong is absolutely important. We as human beings, we really want to belong and have that sense of worth and some meaning to our existence on this earth. Anybody wants to be alone? I don't think. Not out of choice anyway. Nobody wants to be alone. We want to belong. I was inspired last Sunday by what Shane shared when he was doing tithes and offerings. And the scripture that he brought out was from Matthew chapter 6. And he said this, that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is. In other words, what he said was that when you value something, you will treasure it. And when you treasure it, you will put it, you put your heart and your soul into it. Shall I say that again? When you value something, you will treasure it. And when you treasure it, you put your heart and soul into it. And one of the things that I hope I get this right, one of the things that Shane mentioned was that his pastor said that when you come to church to worship God, how many of us bring our heart of worship as well unto the Lord? I know we are here physically. We are here. We are present in church. But how many of our hearts are here truly worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. If you have a Bibles, iPads, iPhones, any other eyes, all the gadgets. Matthew chapter 6. I like the good old-fashioned Bible. It always helps me. Matthew chapter 6, 19 to 24. And it says this. I'm reading from the message. It says this. I like the message. In some of the translations are really good. It says this. Don't hoard treasure down here where it gets eaten by moths and corroded by rust. Or worse, stolen by burglars. I like that. It says here, stockpile treasure in heaven. Stockpile treasure in heaven where it's safe from moth and rust and burglars. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place you will most want to be and end up being. Verse 22, your eyes are the windows into your body. If you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body fills up with light. If you live like this, squinty-eyed in greed and distrust, your body is a dark cellar. If you pull the blinds on your windows, like we have the blinds down here, what a dark life you will have. Verse 24, you can't worship two gods at once. Loving one God, you'll end up hating the other. Adoration of one feeds contempt for the other. You can't worship God and money both. What an amazing passage of scripture. And I'm going to talk today in the context of the church being the treasure and the place where we most want to be, because we value belonging to such a place. Now we know that the church is not the building. It's not these brick stone walls. That is not the church. The church is us, the people. A building is useless. We can call it the most elaborate church, the most beautiful church that you can ever have, but if there are no people in that building, that is no church. The church is us, the gathered ones, the ecclesia, the ones who have come together. So wherever people gather in the name of Jesus is the church. Can you see that? So when we come together and we gather here, we are the church, the gathered ones. And if we choose to gather somewhere else, the building really doesn't matter. Because it is us. When we move to another place, we become the church. We are the church that have moved. We have only moved location, but we are still the church. Can you see that? And sometimes we can get caught up with buildings, but the building is not the church. You and I are the church. And so even when if we have to move at some point, because I know that we aren't going to be here all the time, wherever we go, we are the church. We're the gathered ones. We represent the body of Jesus Christ. And that is the beauty of it. I like the nomadic lifestyle. You know, the pilgrim. I remember singing that hymn, To Be a Pilgrim, years ago in school. We used to sing in the chapel, To Be a Pilgrim. And so that song kind of flew back into my mind when I thought about this. But that's so true about even the children of Israel. When they were brought out of Egypt, they didn't camp in one place. You know, they just followed the fire by night and the cloud by day. And wherever God went, they went. When God rested, they rested. When God said, right, it's time to go, they just packed everything up and off they went. And so in the nomadic culture, wherever the people gather, it becomes their place for a time. And then they get up again and off they go. Same happens with a pilgrim. They're always on the move. And I believe even the church has always to be on the move. We've got to be a people who are ready to be on the move, because God is on the move. And so we can't get stuck in a building, or we can't get stuck in structures, because God operates in a very different way. He operates in you. He operates in me. He's put His Spirit in you. He's put His Spirit in me. We are the church when we gather together. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. The church of God, God's people coming together, is a great place to belong, because it's the body of Jesus Christ. So I want to focus on three things this morning. Three things this morning. Here's the first one. First and foremost, we are the children of God. We have to identify ourselves as children of God. Tell your neighbor, you are a child of God. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verses 15 to 17. This resurrection life you received from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. I like that. This resurrection life you received from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's not dead. It's not a dead life. It's not a timid life. It's adventurously expectant. It's exciting. That's what it says. It's adventurously expectant. Greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" Do you like that translation? Is that up there? That's NIV. Okay. This is the message. It says, "What next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirits. And when that happens, here's what happens. And confirms who we really are. Our confirmation doesn't come from being baptized in the church. Our confirmation comes when the Spirit of God touches our spirit man. There is a divine connection. There is a divine exchange that happens. When that happens, there is a confirmation that comes that we are children of God. Isn't that amazing? I think that's just awesome. The Spirit of God confirming with our spirit and telling us and saying us, "You are my child. Today I've begotten you." We know who He is and we know who we are. Father and children. And we know we are going to get what's coming to us. An unbelievable inheritance. Say inheritance. It says here, an unbelievable inheritance. That's what's coming to us. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. And if we go through the hard times with Him, then we certainly are going to go through the good times with Him. If we go through the hard times with Christ, we are certainly going to go through the good times with Him. In Matthew's Gospel chapter 6, Jesus mentions the word Father 11 times in that one chapter. That shows the significance and the importance of that relationship, which is the most remarkable and incredible relationship you will ever have, the relationship with the Father. That's why Christianity is different, because it's not just a religion. Because religion is man searching for God somehow through their efforts, somehow through doing some penance or through some, I don't know, pujas or through some other events, trying to attain or reach God. But Christianity does the reverse. God sends Jesus to us. Can you see the difference? It's not about us trying to reach God, but God says, "I'm going to reach down to you. And I'm going to send my son Jesus. And through him, you can come to me." And the difference is that in Christianity, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. It's a relationship with the Father. That's why it's a living gospel. And I think that's why Christians are being persecuted. You look at the persecuted church today, it's happening before our very eyes. You wouldn't think that in the 21st century that people would be persecuting other people, but it is happening. Why are they persecuting the Christians? I really believe because we are alive, because we are living stones. You don't tamper with something that's dead. You can, but you can tamper with something that's alive. And I believe it's because we are alive in Christ Jesus. He's given us His Spirit. His Spirit has touched your spirit. He's made you alive today. You can shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. You can shout praise the Lord. Praise you the can Lord. Shout amen this morning. Because Christ has touched your spirit, man. And He's made you alive in Him. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. God's resurrection life. God's resurrection power has touched us and confirmed us as to who we really are. Children of God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Children of God. Isn't that incredible that we who are born with a sinful nature due to Adam's sin can come before a God, our Father, through Jesus, His Son, and be joined together with Father in one spirit. If you look at Romans chapter 5, you don't have to read it now, but if you're writing notes, write this. Romans chapter 5, 12 to 21 talks about the Adamic nature and Christ coming and giving us something fresh and something new, taking away that sinful nature and giving us His nature. And because of that, we are heirs of the throne of God. We are heirs and joint heirs with Christ because we are in one spirit. So the question is, what does it mean to be co-heirs or joint heirs with Jesus Christ? Who is an heir? An heir is a person, not heir, heir. An heir is a person who is legally entitled to the property, rank, or title of the person's, of another person's death. The moment someone dies, this person has a legal right to take that inheritance, to have everything that that person had. But it's not when they are alive. It's after they have died. Can you see that? You become an heir. It's like our children will be the heirs to our inheritance, to our property, to everything else that we hold, because we can't take it and go up there. Yeah. It'll never happen. But they legally become the heirs. And that's what happens with us. And we see that in Romans chapter 8. And here's the answer. Here's the answer. Jesus died and He rose again. And because of His death, you and I have become the heirs of everything that Jesus has. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Everything at His disposal is ours. Yeah. Everything that belongs to Jesus is ours. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Just His death and resurrection. Because of His death and resurrection, you and I have become heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Can you see that? Yeah. Romans 8, 17, Paul says, now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory. According to this verse, we share in the sufferings of Christ now and will share in the glory of Christ later as His heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Galatians 4 and verse 7 tells us this. So you are no longer slaves, but God's children. Hallelujah. No longer slaves, but God's children. Since you are God's children, God has also made you heirs. God gives you the right of those, to those who are His children. Hallelujah. God gives you the right to those who are His children. The term heirs of God emphasizes our relationship to God the Father. As His children, we have an inheritance. Tell your neighbor, tell the one next to you, you have an inheritance, an unbelievable inheritance. You might have next to nothing here on this earth. Don't worry about that, because you have an inheritance that is unbelievable. And you know, this is what it says. You have an inheritance that can never perish, that can never spoil or fade. Hallelujah. kept in heaven just for you. Tell your neighbor, that's for you. That's for you. Praise the name of Jesus. 1 Peter 1 and verse 4, we see that scripture there in 1 Peter 1 and verse 4. If you look at the Greek term for heirs, it refers to this in Romans 8, 17. To those who receive their allotted possession by right of sonship. Those who receive their allotted possession by right of sonship. You and I are sons of God, daughters of God, children of God the Father. And by right, you and I have received that inheritance that comes from Him. Can you see that? Because you and I are sons of God. When I say sons, I include everybody in that. John chapter 1 and verse 12. It says this, but as many as received Him, whom? Jesus. To them He gave the right. To them He gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in His name. Hallelujah! Isn't that amazing? That you and I have been born, bought by the blood of Jesus into the very family of God. Hallelujah. As many as received Him, He gave the right to be sons of God. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. What a generous God. What a generous Father. What a loving Father that He's given us the right to become His children. This amazing holy God, through Christ Jesus, has given us access to Himself, that we can just be in the Father's presence and say, Papa, or Abba, Father, Daddy, you're amazing, you're awesome, you're so wonderful. You and I, we have full rights. We have the full rights to receive His inheritance. We are God's beneficiaries. Hallelujah. We are His beneficiaries. Hallelujah. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29. And I'll give you a few more scriptures which you won't read today. But I just want you to see this, this scripture here. Reading from verse 26 actually. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. What are we? Sons of God through whom? Through Christ Jesus. For as many as you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Hallelujah. You and I are heirs according to the promise that God gave Abraham in the book of Genesis. Praise His holy name. Isn't God an amazing, amazing God? Praise the name of Jesus. The other scripture that you can write down is Matthew 25, 34 and Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12 and Colossians chapter 3 and verse 24. The second one is this. The first one was we are all children of God. That's the first thing. The second one is that we need to have a heavenly mindset. We need to have a heavenly mindset. Why the scripture says don't hoard treasure here on earth. Because you can't take it. Our treasures are not here on earth, where it can spoil or be stolen. But the word says, store up your treasure in heaven because it is eternal. What we store in heaven is eternal. Everything we do must point to Christ. I think that's a good caption to have. Everything we do must point to Christ. Because if we are in that mindset that everything we do points to Christ, we will be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. Everything we do has an eternal significance, be it positive or negative. It has an eternal significance. The Bible tells us not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Why? Because our minds are the biggest battlefields. And everything starts with a thought. And that's Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. In other words, it says, do not get molded into this world or be influenced by this world. You are in the world, but not of the world. Colossians 3 tells us to seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated. Seek the things which are above, where Christ is seated. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you have died to this earthly carnal nature, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Hallelujah. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. There cannot be a more secure place than that. Hidden with Christ in God. Can anyone snatch you out of God's hands? I don't think so. Not when you are hid in Christ in God. That's like in the secret and the most secret and the most secret place that you can ever be. The third one is this. Serve God. Serve God. As much as our children, they serve us as parents, so must we as children serve God our Father. Our priority in life must be to serve the one who is our Father. That should be our priority in life. How do I serve my Father? What can I do to please my Father? What can I do to bless my Father? That should be our priority. Everything we do must reflect our Father and His heart and His kingdom. Jesus said this in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. Jesus Himself, He prioritized the kingdom of God. He said, for this purpose I have come. He prioritized the kingdom of God, and He wouldn't let anyone come in between Jesus and the kingdom of His Father. When Peter tried to do that, he said, get behind me, Satan. Harsh words. Because Jesus would not allow anything else or anyone else to come and tamper with the Father's kingdom. That's what Jesus was protecting and was declaring all the time. Jesus said, my food is to do the work of Him who sent me and finish His work. John 4 and verse 34. So here's the question. I spoke on three things this morning. I spoke first and foremost that we are children of God. We need to believe it. We need to accept that we are children. We need to have a heavenly mindset. Not think about things of this earth, but have a heavenly perspective in everything we do. Put on Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said. Putting on Jesus Christ. I strive daily to put on Christ Jesus. And the third one, to serve God with all of our heart. With all of our heart, soul, and mind. The question is, are we seeking after self? Or are we seeking after the real vibrant relationship with Father God? Are we self-seeking? Or are we serving ourselves? Or are we serving or seeking to serve our Father? Are we seeking to serve our Father every day? I believe that in every child, that should be their longing. How can I serve my Father? How can I serve my Father? As children of God, that should be our longing. God, how can I serve you today? What can I do to serve you today? Are we prepared to face the challenges for the sake of following and serving our Father? Are we genuinely seeking to serve God? Are we simply putting on a Sunday mask so people perceive us as godly when in reality, deep, deep in the hearts of hearts, in our private life, we struggle with fears, we struggle with temptations, desiring everything that the world can offer us, desiring man's praise instead of glorifying God. So many today are running after man's praise just to be affirmed by somebody out there, forgetting that God the Father has confirmed us just by His Spirit touching our spirit. Isn't that amazing? You don't have to run to anybody to be affirmed today. God the Father has affirmed you. He has affirmed you as His child. We don't need any affirmation from any man. No matter how higher up in society there might be. If nobody gives you a thank you, don't worry about it. God the Father has affirmed you and confirmed you. His Spirit has touched your spirit, man. You are a child of the Most High God. You're a child of God. Tell yourself, I'm a child of God. I'm hid with Christ. My life is hid with Christ in God. Nobody can touch me. Nobody can touch me. Because I'm God's possession. Jesus directs us to this question and addresses the heart. He says, where is your treasure? For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. A person's life is a reflection of his heart. That's why we read in Proverbs 4:23, it says, guard your heart, for it is a wellspring of life. Guard it. We must guard our hearts. We must watch over our hearts so that our hearts follow hard after the things of God and not be distracted by the things of this world. I tell you, the moment you desire to follow after God, the enemy will tempt you with all sorts of things from the world. He will. That's his job. He will. The moment you make a decision to follow Jesus all the days of your life, he will bring every temptation under the sun to try and distract you from following Jesus Christ, from following your heart. David was a man who followed hard after God. Now, he was not a good man. He wasn't. He betrayed his own family. He slept with another man's woman, a wife. But he knew how to repent. He had a heart that followed after God. Even when Saul was chasing David, David had a heart for God that he would not touch God's anointed man. Although he knew he was going to be king very soon, yet, even when he had opportunity, he never touched God's man. He had a heart for God, and that's why God said, this man has a heart that yearns for me. David said this. He said, one day in your courts is better than 1,000 outside. One day in your courts. He said, God, I long to be with you. I long to be where you are. I long to dwell in your courts, in the courts of the house of the Lord forever. How beautiful are your dwelling places, O God. As the deer pants for the water brook, so my heart longs or pants after you, O God. You can see how far, how much David longed to follow hard after Father God. I have three questions. And the first question is this. Where is your treasure? Because in asking this, you will have the answer to where is your heart? Where is your heart? Because where your heart, where your treasure is, there, your heart will be also. The second question is this: where is your focus? What are you focused on? What are your eyes focused on? Are they focused on the seen or the unseen? Are they focused on the seen or the unseen? And here's the last question: who or what are we serving? Who or what are we serving? You know, Jesus was surrounded by religious people every day of his life. They surrounded him. People who looked the part, who wore long robes and looked very Pharisaical. They were Pharisees, they were Sadducees, they were scribes, they were teachers of the law. They looked good on the outside, but their hearts were serving money. Their hearts were not serving God. Their hearts were serving money rather than serving God. And sometimes we can get caught up in that. That we can be so used to the things that we do that we forget whom we're actually serving. Are we serving ourselves or are we serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Because our reward doesn't come from man, it comes from the Father. When I serve, I always serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when I have that perspective, I am not looking to man, because my confidence doesn't come from man, it comes from God. Because he is the source of everything that I am. He is the source of everything that we are. And so long as we tap into his source and his resources, we will never run dry. We will run dry if we tap into human resources, but not into God's resources. We can never, ever run dry on God's resources. Jesus is looking at our hearts. You may be in church. When I say church, I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about the gathered ones. We may be in church, but our heart may not be connected to the gathered ones. Meaning with God's people. When our heart is connected to the church, to those who are gathered, you know what will happen? We prioritize God's people. And God's people, our fellow brothers, our fellow sisters, they will be our passion. That'll be our priority. They will be our focus. And we will do everything we can to bless, to secure, to bring healing and bring restoration and bring promise and bring faith. When our hearts are connected to the gathered ones. And here's the good news. Today, you can do something about changing your heart. Right now, by surrendering your heart to Jesus. Dying to self. Dying to selfish lifestyles. Embracing the life of Jesus. Saying, Jesus, it's all about you, that you may be glorified in me. Every day of my life, Father, that I will serve you diligently and faithfully. God is looking for a faithful people, for a people who have a heart that yearns after him. And all he asks us this morning is for a heart that's willing. So long as we say, yes, God, yes, Papa, yes, Father, I am willing, God can take charge, can take a hold of us and take us to places and destinations that we may have been trying to reach through our own efforts. But God can bring it about just like that. Just like that. You know what? Jesus loves you. He loves you so much. That's why he gave his life on the cross for you. Only Jesus can go into those places that has hurt you so badly. And only Jesus can heal you of all the hurts, of all the pain, of all the disappointments. Only Jesus can heal you. His power is able to set you free. This morning, you can be free because he died for you. He rose again for you. He sits at the right hand of the Father. You know what he's doing? Interceding. He said to the Father, look, that's my beloved child. Look, isn't he wonderful? Isn't he amazing? That's what Jesus is doing. He's telling the Father, look at my children. They're amazing. They're wonderful. He doesn't look at those little things that we do every day that, you know, that we might think, oh yeah, you know, we condemn ourselves. God doesn't condemn us. But he convicts us. And when we come to him and repent, God forgives us. That's the mercy of God. In spite of ourselves, he does it. The question is, will you trust Jesus? Will you put your life in his hands? And as our hands, let's lift our hands up right now. And let's sing this song, My Focus is Jesus. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's everything in between. All my hopes, all my dreams, all my passion, all everything, my plans, my future is wrapped up in Jesus. Everything, my tomorrow is in Jesus. Because I know he lives, I can face tomorrow. Tomorrow does not scare me because my tomorrow is in Jesus. Tomorrow does not scare me because it's in Jesus. And I have every confidence to know that which I have committed to him, he is able to keep until that day when I will see my Father face to face, when I will have the opportunity to know who my Father is and know him and see his face and say, Abba, Father. God, you're my focus. Everything that I am and I have. I may not have anything here on earth, but I thank you that you have an incredible inheritance for me. You have stashed it away, you have stored it up where nothing can steal or rust or moth cannot attack it. An eternal inheritance for me. You have prepared a place for me. You've gone before me. You prepared a place for me that one day I will be with you. That's the hope of every believer. My focus is Jesus.
My focus is Jesus.
Let's lift up those hands.
The Alpha and